Every once in a while, I have something that happens that just tears me apart. Different things sometimes, but one of the things that happened to me recently, and in fact is the reason that we're going to study this topic this morning, is I talked to a couple, and the wife in this couple had grown up in a different religious setting, not in the churches of Christ. And in the discussion, she said, you know, once I came into the church, I couldn't understand why there's no rejoicing. I couldn't understand why people are so sad. I couldn't understand why we weren't filled. And it broke my heart that that was somebody's worship experience among one of our worship settings. So I'm going to give you a test right now. I want everybody to smile for 3 seconds and look at somebody beside you. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. You do know how to smile. Now, I want you to laugh as loud as you can. Oh, come on. That was better there. Now, laugh and look at somebody and smile at the same time. You know, we sing about being happy all the time, don't we? If the skies above you are gray, sing and be happy today. We talk about, I'm happy today. Yes, I'm happy today since Jesus took my sins away. And we sing about that. Even with the little children, we come in and we sing songs like it isn't any trouble, just a S-M-I-L-E. And so I want us to understand that every time we come in, that we are in the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, and it ought to be an encouraging, enjoyable, happy time. When I was growing up, it was often that I would hear people say that you ought to be respectful in worship. I believe you should be respectful in worship. The thing that bothers me now that I heard then so often is, you wouldn't act like that at a funeral. You wouldn't dress like that at a funeral. You wouldn't say something like that at a funeral. People, we are not here today because of a funeral. We are here today because of a resurrection. We're here today not because he died, but because he rose again. We're not here today because we're going to die, but because he's promised us that where he's going, we can be also. And that's good news, and that's what the gospel stands for. And we ought to be the happiest people in all the world, and our worship really ought to reflect that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, we're going to use that as our text. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, what? Ask twice. Now smile when you say it next time. The idea is that we have got to understand who we are and why we are, and God forbid that anybody should walk out of a worship service and think that Christianity is not rejoicing. We ought to always end every message with a message of hope. We ought to end every service with the idea that Jesus is coming soon, and that's not a bad thing at all for those of us who believe that he is and that he's a reward of those that diligently seek him. There's something wrong with us when we have people depressed and distressed when they walk out of the building, because the Bible tells us that we are to always rejoice. In fact, if you look with me over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, there are three things given in a list there that we need to pay attention to. I believe they are three elements of happiness, and they may not first appear that way to you, because some of them may seem synonymous. Verse 16, one whole verse. Rejoice always. That's a verse. It sounds like a command. It sounds like a description of what God's people are supposed to be. So in order to be happy, we've got to be rejoicing, and we've got to know what we're rejoicing about. If you want to get there, pray without ceasing. That's the second element we're going to talk about. And again, sounding a little bit like that one, but the third one is that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that we rejoice always, that we pray always, and that we be thankful for what we've given. That's God's will. You know, if you end up being thankful for what you're given, you're going to end up rejoicing, are you not? Doesn't that make sense that God has blessed us inherently? And I want to look at these three elements just for a moment. The first element is, in rejoicing, is to be happy. Who remembers that song? I can't even remember the whole song. Don't worry now, be happy. Isn't that it? It's a real happy song. Don't worry, be happy now. If you're in the world, you got a lot to worry about. If you're outside of Christ, I know why you're worried. But if you're in Christ, Paul said he was a conqueror through Jesus Christ. All things are given to us that pertain to life and happiness. We look at the scripture and it's filled with passages that say we ought to be happy. We ought to be rejoicing. And the Psalm says in Psalm 118 verse 24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." If for no other reason you woke up this morning, if for no other reason God gave you breath to breathe today, and I look around even at those assembled today, we've got families, we've got loved ones, we're sharing in a worship period together. By the way, I want you to check yourself throughout this lesson to see if you're still smiling. I can tell. I can see who's rejoicing. I may not can read your heart, but I can read your face. The Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." In the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8, there's a time when the wall is being restored and they're celebrating the goodness of God. Verse 10 says that Nehemiah is passing the word on. He says, "Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send the portions to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And this is the day of the Lord. There's a song about that. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If we would practice what we sing, I think that the world would want to be more a part of the body of Christ. We need to show who we are by how we act. But there's a second element there that has to do with being happy, and it's praying. If you want to be happier, pray more. I think that when you think of this concept, you think, well, why would being praying more make you happy? Because you're thinking more about God, you're seeing your place in the universe, because you understand that every good gift comes from the Father of lights from above. We understand what the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, that persevere in supplications be for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That ought to be ongoing. Pray without ceasing, Paul says again. When we look at our relationship to prayer, it ought to be that of a child coming to its parent to be comforted, to make everything all right. I remember as a little boy one time, my popsicle broke. You're smiling. You smile at this, a sad story out of my life. And I brought it to my mom, and I took the stick, and I took the other piece, and I looked at her, and I said, "Mom, scotch tape it together." You know, scotch tape doesn't really work that well on popsicles. My idea was, "I'm coming to you, and I've got a problem, and I want you to fix it." And you know what she told me to do? She told me to eat it, and it worked. Probably for the first time in my life, I found out you could eat a popsicle without a stick. We need to come to God and let God fix our problems. And sometimes it's just looking at it a different way. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostles were talking about their place and that during this time that there were others that needed serving. The apostles said, "You appoint out 7 men to do this, for we need to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." You know, I think if we logged our prayer time, most of us would be surprised at the absence of it. I can tell you, when I've visited with people and gone to the hospitals and all these things, I've seen people in some terrible situations, and as we finish prayer and as we gather around and hold hands, there's a smile that comes on people's faces just because we went to God in prayer. How much time are we robbing ourselves of the peace of God that passes all understanding because we fail to pray? If you want to be happy, you need to have a good prayer life. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says this, "Keep on praying." King James says, "Pray without ceasing." I like that idea that says, keep on keeping on. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You see, when we really understand who we are and whose we are, then we'll be able to have that happiness that God wants for us. But there's a third element. And I think there are different kinds of prayers. There's those prayers of supplication we just spoke of. But then there are those times when we have prayers of thanksgiving. I believe that when it comes to thanksgiving, we have to stop and think about what we've been given, what we're to be thankful for. Let me ask you another question. How many of you have something to be thankful for in your life this morning? The rest of y'all are in trouble. Your heart's beating. You're in the house of God. You're with the saints of God. You've had something to eat. You'll have something to eat. You're dressed well. You drove in a car. The sun's shining. Have you noticed the day outside? It was ordered just for you for today. No, it was given from heaven. There's so much we have to be thankful for. In everything give thanks. Hebrews chapter 13 says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's keep on being thankful. Look for the things that you have to be thankful for. Make a list of what you have to be thankful for. Did you have a bed to sleep in last night? Some people didn't. Do you have family to say I love you or to hear those words from? When we look at all of the things that are going on that have happened, are we thankful? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, he goes on to say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want you to think about that. This is more than we have the ability to even describe. What's the last thing you experienced that was indescribable? You know, we can describe just about most anything, can't we? Every once in a while, we'll have some experience that is just overpowering to us. For instance, the birth of your first child. How do you really describe it? How do you really describe the experience of graduating from high school or from college or getting your first job? Well, I'm happy. On your wedding, do you say, well, it's all right? Almost every wedding I ever do, I go in and I'll see the bride and I'll see the groom and I'll speak to them and I'll say with all the love in my heart and I'll smile at them and this is what I ask every time. Are you sure you want to go through with this? We can call it off right now. So far, nobody's taken me up on it. And they smile and they laugh and they think, we're getting married. Why would we want to call it off? This is the greatest day of my life. Think about the time you became a Christian. Did you really understand what it means to have all of your sins washed away and to be put in a covenant relationship with God? Thanks be to God for His indescribable gifts. Well, what do Christians do to look happy? What do we do to look happy? The psalmist said in Psalm 106 and verse 4, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We're back to that idea that we have to give thanks, what I want to call demonstrating joy. A few minutes ago, I asked you to smile, and you did. You were pretty good at it. I only saw one or two of you that needed a little work. Most of you smiled really well. When I asked you to laugh, most everybody did. Demonstrate joy. When you go out of the building, you ought to be grinning from ear to ear because we've been in the presence of God, because we sang hymns to His name. Luke chapter 6 and verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. Romans 12 and verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those that weep. Colossians 1 and 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And Revelation 19 and verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give Him the glory. How do you demonstrate your joy? You share it. Can you remember when you got your first vehicle? My first vehicle was amazing that it ran. My brother and I, being a twin, we shared it. And I was proud of it. I was happy. We got it for, I think, about $200. My second vehicle was a 1959 Cadillac with fins. It was white. If it had been black, I could have been Batman instead of preaching today. It had two gears, second and reverse, push button on the console. It was great. I got it for $150. Sold it for $300. Yes, in the years since, I've repented of that, but I did sell it for $300. And I remember being happy. I had a car. I remember when I went to pick Lynn up, she slid down and didn't let anybody see her in the front seat in the 59 Cadillac. Now I can say, yes, I have had a Cadillac. for a short period of time. I want people to see me being happy. I want to sing the songs to the fullest of my extent to express my joy to God for being here. Yes, I am happy today. Since Jesus took my sins away, there's nothing that makes me happier. It isn't any trouble to smile, S-M-I-L-E. What I want us to do is take just a few minutes now before we close and ask the question, what makes a Christian happy anyway? Again, the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Sometimes you hear someone say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I don't know if we believe that and if we anticipate that as the way that we face every day. I know there are problems, but there's a place that we get to go where all the former things are passed away. I know that sometimes we feel lonely, but he's promised never to leave us or to forsake us. I know the promises of God are true, and there are so many things for which we have to be happy and to be thankful for. I can't think of a more exciting day than when one becomes a Christian. You say, what about your wedding day? That's exciting. What about when your children were born? That's exciting. But folks, the day I became a Christian, my sins were washed away, and I was put in a different relationship with God. Because I was young when I became a Christian, it affected who I chose as my wife and how we raised our children. It's one of the most exciting things that ever happened to me. And if you look at the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, I think of two occasions. One is where the eunuch was converted on that road when Philip joined himself to the chariot and explained to him Isaiah chapter 53. And they came to a certain body of water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. You remember the story. But do you remember the end of the story? You see, Philip baptized him. And it ends up by saying the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And sometimes people will see that as a short term. I don't think so. I think he went on the rest of his way and the rest of his days rejoicing. I can hear the song, can't you? I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. And I don't think you sing, I've been redeemed, with a bad, sad voice. The other occasion that I think about is in Acts 16. It's the Philippian jailer. You remember that story of Paul and Silas in the inner prison at midnight? Into the stocks in the center of the prison. Almost seems if they are the worst of the worst of the prisoners, and yet they are singing and praising God. It's in the middle of the night, and an earthquake comes, and all the prisons are open, and all the chains are let go. The jailer comes in, he calls for torches, and he sees all the doors open, and he begins to kill himself, because if he doesn't fulfill his duty, he's going to die anyway. That would be his penalty if the prisoners escape. And Paul calls out from the center of the prison, do yourself no harm, we're all here. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He's told to believe, and the next verse says that they started talking to him about it, and they explain the gospel to him, and they go down to the river in the middle of the night, and he washes their stripes, and the jailer is baptized, he and all his household, and watch what happens next. He rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. But I have to be happy today because Jesus took my sins away, because I obeyed the gospel and I received the benefit, and so have you. We're happy because our sins are washed away. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Matthew 9 and verse 2, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. For just a minute, just for illustration purposes, not a translation, assume that said all of your debts are forgiven you. Your college loans are clear, your mortgage is clear, your car's paid for, you're up to date on all of your utilities. There's absolutely nothing that you owe. If you went and tried to pay something, there is nothing that you owe anywhere. Everything is paid in full, is completely taken care of. That's what he says about the debt of sin, that we need to be of good cheer. That's a lot like being happy because our sins have been forgiven. I like Romans chapter 4 and verse 7, where he says, Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Of course you're happy because you get to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. Because you get a better life instead of a worse life. Because the sin debt has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty or impute unrighteousness to. The Bible talks about the joy of salvation. You know, you should rejoice. Your name's written in heaven. You've been redeemed. Your sins are paid for. You're a child of God. There's so many things. Time is going to escape. I love Psalm 51 and verse 12. David is lamenting the sin with Bathsheba and all the associated sin with that. And he prays to God and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." You see, David lost it. Because that's what sin does for us. And he comes to God and he's humble and he's penitent. And he says, "What I want, what I need is that joy that's found in salvation." The psalmist said in Psalm 13, verse 5, "I have trusted in your mercy, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And then a final verse found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, "Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And I guess that's a good place to end this. Are you rejoicing in the hope of God? And if you're not, why aren't you? If you're not in the hope of God, if you've never become a Christian, you ought to be. And it's so easy. All you have to do is believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess His name, be born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, live faithful. Heaven's your home. That's good news. That's happy. There ought to be a smile on everybody's face right now because Jesus died for your sins. And it's up to you to do something about that. He's done everything He can. But you know, you can step out in this aisle here as we sing this song in just a minute. You can walk down the front. You can leave here a born-again Christian, sin, not a sin accounted to your name. All your account as far as sin is completely clean. That's something to rejoice about. And if you messed up as a Christian and fallen away, you can come back home. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be happy with the hope of heaven. Christians rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. This morning, if we can help you in a response to the invitation of heaven, we're here, we want to do that. If you need to, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?